Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day with life where Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for July 18th, 2019, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. Paul writes, "Now, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how is it that some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is pointless, and your faith is pointless too. Then we are even guilty of giving false testimony about God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it were true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then it also follows that those who fell asleep in Christ perished. If our hope in Christ applies only to this life, we are the most pitiful people of all. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came by a man, the resurrection of the dead also is going to come by a man. For as in Adam they all die, so also in Christ they all will be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ as the first fruits, and then Christ's people at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has done away with every other ruler and every other authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Death is the last enemy to be done away with. Certainly, he has put all things in subjection under his feet. Now when it says that all things have been put in subjection, obviously, that does not include the one who subjected all things to him. But when all things have been subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, in order that God may be all in all." This is the word of our God. The idea, that crazy idea that somehow was spooking around the Corinthian congregation, was that people would not be raised from the dead. And it really connects to a godly use of the body, as we mentioned previously. And Paul already talked about this, or he at least alluded very strongly to it back at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that if there is no resurrection of the dead and no resurrection at the end of time, then there's no real reason for a godly use of the body now, aside from just this esoteric kind of detached way of serving God or living your life, but not really of any practical long-term benefit. But he says that at the end of time, the God who is the Lord of life and death is the one who would raise you at the end of time. And so the resurrection of the dead is one reason to watch out and take pains toward a godly use of the body now. And then a secondary reason to that, or a second reason to that, is that we're not just looking at the fact that the body you have now is the body that will be raised and in which you will inhabit heaven for all eternity, but also the fact that your body now, as a believer, is a temple of the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell within you bodily. Look at that. And so the Greek ideas about being rid of the body and freeing oneself from the body, it kind of plays itself out in all the extremes, whether it's asceticism, denial of the body, starvation of oneself, or beating of the body, like the monks of the Middle Ages almost, or the other extreme of excess, eating and eating, and eating to excess, and ungodly use through sexual acts, and other excesses, I suppose, that really show blatant disregard for the body. But Paul says here that if you deny the resurrection of the dead, and that denial may be simply a denial by action in what you do or leave undone, but if you deny the resurrection of the dead, then you deny the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And that is obviously contrary to the first 11 verses of this chapter, where Paul says that you were preached to about the resurrection of the dead, and you believed it, and you've taken your stand on it, and Scripture attests to it, and there are hundreds of witnesses, most of whom are still alive, and Paul himself saw the resurrected, risen Lord Jesus. And Paul's really saying that it's not very logical of you to deny the resurrection of the dead, either by what you say or by what you do. And then secondarily, in these verses today, that if you deny the resurrection of the dead, you really call God a liar. And then we are, you know, verse 15, 14 and 15. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is pointless, and your faith is pointless too. Then we are even guilty of giving false testimony about God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it were true that the dead were not raised. And they see this beautiful, beautiful connection between the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of the followers of Jesus. And that's even in the name of our podcast, Raised with Jesus, that in your baptism, you are buried with Jesus, you are raised with Jesus. And the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead means that you have life now. And the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead means that every Christian will be raised with a glorified body at the end of time. And what we see a little bit later in this chapter is that even the unbelievers will be raised through the power of our Lord Jesus over life and death, and yet they will not have the glorified body that the Christians have. And so in verse 20, Paul's like, okay, let's talk about reality for a minute. The dead have been raised because Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And the idea of the first fruits that he talks about here, that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, in verse 20, the idea of the first fruits here is that there's more to come. The Jews, the Hebrew people, would celebrate the festival of first fruits. It's actually around the time of Pentecost. There's a couple of different times because they have a couple of different harvests over the course of the year. But that festival of first fruits was where they would devote the very first part of the harvest to the Lord. They would bring off that first sheaf of grain of whatever ripened first, or the first grapes, and they would bring it to the Lord, bring it to the temple, and offer it to the Lord as a sacrifice. And maybe that was used by the priests and the Levites who were serving there to provide for some of their food. I don't recall right offhand. But the idea of the first fruits is that in trust, as they trust the Lord, they give to him the very first part of the crop, with the confidence that the rest of the crop will mature and ripen, because the Lord will make it so. The Lord will provide the rain that is needed. The Lord will hold back the hail and the grasshoppers from destroying the crop. And so Christ, as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, is your proof and my proof that the rest of the harvest is still to come, that those who have fallen asleep in Christ will be raised at the end of time, that even one of the pictures of in one of our hymns talks about these angels soon will gather their sheaves of golden grain, and talking there about the resurrection of people at the end of time, which we'll get to a little bit later in this chapter. He talks about the resurrection body and really uses that image of grain sprouting and being something different. So don't we all steal all the thunder there? But the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead and you were raised with him through baptism is your proof that you will be raised at the end of time. At the end of time, even if your body has turned back to dust or ash, at the end of time, God will reassemble your body just as it is now, but in a glorified way, without sin or pain or suffering, without anything that is lacking. And even if there is a, you know, like a lacking finger or something like that, anything that is lacking won't be a deficit to you. It won't be an unhappy thing for you, and it will just serve to give glory to God, point to God the way everything should. And then you'll be reassembled as you are at the end of time in a glorified body to live with God and with fellow believers forever in heaven, walking hand in hand with that spouse that you miss right now, standing before God in heaven, in the heavenly choir, with the same body in the perfect life that God intended from the very beginning of time. And that is yours because Christ has been raised from the dead. And that is yours because he is the first fruits. We are the rest of the crop. You can find us Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee.